So this working with the etheric vibration, again, that can be applied to any energy center of the body that we want to make more tangible to ourselves, to give more power to it. And it can also be applied generally to the entire energetic field, whether we apply it to the hands for some type of healing purpose, or it can be applied in general to densify the entire etheric sheath of the body, particularly, again, for folks that feel somewhat oversensitive or energetically unstable. And with that, it needs to really be tied into the hara energy and then through the legs down into the feet and to the earth. So we need to differentiate this etheric level of working from the astral level of working. The astral level, rather than it being a level of vibration, density, pressure, etc., this is the level at which we become aware of sensations of light and color. The astral level is the first true spiritual plane that we encounter. And it's different from the etheric, which is kind of, from this perspective, a bridge between the physical and the spiritual. This is the vibratory level. It's at the astral level that we actually perceive spiritual beings, forms, etc. And so, again, our sensations at the astral are that of light or color. When we move past our own astral body, we can move past what might appear as points or clouds of light and color, which are highly mobile and illuminated from the inside, and the colors are much more intense and dynamic than anything in the physical world. But at a certain stage, we can move past that kind of moving, shifting astral color and light and start to move into a perception of the astral plane itself. And as we do that, the perception is going to be that rather than all these shifting, mobile astral colors, what we perceive then is what is sometimes referred to as a dark purple light. It looks like a dark purple overlay of light, like the type of light that you see with a black light. A black light is technically an ultraviolet light, and when you see a black light at dispensers of the mall or something, and you see it on the wall, it looks like it's dark purple. That's the kind of light we're talking about. It's a dark purple light. And for those of you with the biogeometry background, it's this, from my perspective, it's the same thing as what we refer to as the higher harmonic of ultraviolet, which in the Egyptian system is referred to as the atmosphere of the angels or the spiritual light. And this dark purple light, we need to be clear, is something that when you perceive it, it's a complete overlay over everything that you see on the astral plane. And you can, in fact, get to the point that you can hold it so steady that when it's steady in the mind's eye, you can open up the physical eyes and still perceive it as an overlay over what you're perceiving physically. And this takes a little while to stabilize that. This is something very well known in the Himalayan tradition, but really every tradition knows about it. In the West, it's usually referred to in veiled terms. For instance, the Freemasons might refer to it as darkness visible. This dark purple light is darkness visible. But that even most Masons today have no concept of that because they lost the key to practical exercises and actual building practices. But classically, it was very well known. Now, for some people who are not very visual, that opening up to the astral plane is not so much a seeing of the dark purple light, although it might come in time. But for some people, it's more of an energetic feeling in the head. And what it feels like is the opening of a vast, dark expanse in the head. Because what we're going to do to get there is we're going to find an energy center of the body, and it's just a simple mapping process of put your mind awareness at a particular point of the body, like, say, third eye. We asked you to put the awareness there, find a place that you could feel felt like additional vibration or pressure or density, and then we're going to move all of our awareness and attention into the very center of whatever we feel, just like we did by moving the sphere down to the point. But this is a constant dynamic movement into the center from all directions with our mind and our energy. And so that's the key to it, that it's not just I'm moving it down to a point and then I stop. It's a constant dynamic movement into the center. Once that energy is initiated, it can continue without a whole lot of extra force given to us, to it by us. It's like objects in motion tend to stay in motion. Once you get that involution into the center moving, it can really kind of keep moving on its own momentum, just let it keep moving into the center. In time, you want it to be, it's more like you're falling into the center, but it's like all the awareness and attention from the periphery is just constantly falling into the center, going down the rabbit hole. And so sometimes we refer to it as like doing a close-up with a camera lens. You're constantly going closer and closer and closer into the center of the center of the center of the center, but from all directions at once. It's easier to do than it is to describe, but it really is a feeling of relaxing into it. Sometimes we use the term raw, R-A, for relaxed awareness, because you don't want to have tension of like I'm forcing it into the center. It's really completely relaxed and letting it really, in a sense, collapse into the center. And so what we find then is that although we're collapsing it into the center, there is this counter movement, because by going into the center that we open up into the spiritual world. Just like by moving outward here, our attention goes into the physical world. We collapse into the center, we cross a certain null point, and at that point we feel the opening of a vast dark expanse in the head, like it turns inside out, and we can perceive that spiritual space. So that's related to the light, color, etc. Now, when we work with this, at the etheric level, we're working with vibration, pressure, etc. We've got to keep the mind focused on that to stay with it. The monkey mind chatter comes in, and we can lose the sense of the vibration. But we can always use the breathing to intensify that. And usually by returning the attention to the vibration of the breath, we can get out of that monkey mind chatter. Same thing is true of the astral. But once we start to go past the light and color level and go into the vast dark expanse, we really need to let go of attention to the breathing. Just go back to normal breathing, let the breathing do whatever it wants to do. Because you go down to the deeper levels of the astral plane, and then to even deeper planes we're not going to get into here, what will happen is that the breath will naturally slow, and at some points it will completely stop. It will become completely still. And the deepest levels of awareness actually require the breath to be held. But we're not going to do that at this stage of something conscious. Just going to be let the breath do whatever it wants to do once you reach the point of the dark purple light or the opening of the vast dark expanse. So again, it's not that breathing is good or bad. It connects to a particular level for a particular purpose or function. Now, one thing to be very aware of is that as we move into that astral level, it really requires us to be very still. And not a rigid type of stillness, like I'm not going to allow myself to move, but that you're so focused on that internal space and moving into the center that the whole body is relaxed and very, very still. The more still you are, then the deeper you can go in the practice. And when you find someone being very, very still in this way, then the energy around the body shifts, and it gets something that we call astral density. And when everybody in a room does it, the entire room gets this astral density. The astrality of the room gets very dense, very tangible, but it comes with stillness. Movement will change that entirely. So it has to be a natural form of stillness that comes from so much internal focus. Now, another part of this is that once you open this up, moving to the astral plane or at the astral plane, you can have all kinds of stuff come up in the mind. So part of it's monkey mind chatter. My butt hurts, or I'm thirsty, or when is lunch going to be, or did I turn off the stove at home, or you know, all this kind of chatter can come up. But it can also be getting all kinds of images, and all kind of things can show up in front of you. And at this stage, the thing is, don't attach to any images or any content that comes up. You know, you may see geometric forms that may appear to be forms of spiritual beings, movements, whatever it might be, and just observe it like clouds moving by and don't attach to it. There may be things coming up that may be alarming to you or have some type of emotional reaction to them, maybe scenes from your past, things of that kind. But we just need to keep this whole idea of just non-reactive observation. There was a really great saying that Samuel Sagan had at the Clear Vision School, which is that our capacity to see spiritually is governed by our capacity to not react. And so that non-reactivity is very, very important. So that's a little bit of background for what we're going to do now. We're going to work with the three astral centers of the body. What we're going to start with is we're going to do what we did a moment ago, friction breathing, awareness at the third eye, find where you can tangibly feel something. It's got to be something that you can feel viscerally, that you really feel the vibration. And then when you find that vibratory place, you're going to connect the throat friction to it to intensify it, Move all your attention and awareness into the very center of the center of the center as a constant process of what you feel vibrationally, and that then, in time, will open up into the sensations of light and color. And then as you continue to relax into the very center, whatever appears to you at the light and color level, that can open up in time to that dark purple overlay or the feeling of the opening of the vast dark expanse in the head. What I need to emphasize for you is that for this practice, if you're not having this happen for you at the deeper levels, stay with whatever level is authentically happening. It will not help you to try to visualize or pretend that you're seeing a dark purple light or feeling this opening of the expanse or anything of that kind. Doing that will actually short-circuit the practice. It has to happen automatically. So if the farthest you can get is building up the vibration at the third eye, stay there. In time, though, as you move into the very center of what you feel, it will open up to light and color, the opening of the vast dark expanse, dark purple light, etc. But again, stay with your authentic experience. We're going to do a bit of that with the third eye, and then we're going to move the awareness to the heart and to the hara energy. And with that, we want to get a sense of what's held in these three areas. In the Eastern system, there's discussion of a type of spiritual energy that's in locations of the body, and they refer to it as nectar. There's a different spiritual nectar quality with all the different centers. We want that to go from being an abstract concept for us for a direct visceral experience of tasting and feeling the nectar held in these locations. So that's going to be the next stage of the practice, and then we'll move it further to working with other centers beyond this. So, I'm going to invite you, if you are wearing glasses, to remove them and to sit up straight but relaxed in your chair. And be aware of the alignment of the back of your head to your spine. And you might find that if you tuck your chin in toward the body slightly, that the alignment of the back of the head and the spine might be a little bit better. Just what's comfortable for you, but as straight a back of the head and spine as possible. Then just relax, take a few deep breaths, make sure your shoulders are relaxed, your jaw is relaxed, eyes are relaxed, etc. And then we can start by putting your awareness at the throat. Have a slight constriction at the base of the throat, mouth wide open, jaw relaxed, and start the friction breathing with your awareness of the vibration building up the base of the throat from the breathing. The more vibration you build up with this practice, then the more quickly you can make tangible the different energy centers. And if your throat ever gets too dry, feel free to take a drink of water. Now continue the friction breathing in the background and move your awareness to the third eye space, slightly inside the skull, around the location between the eyebrows. Just put your awareness there and look for that feeling of a place of additional vibration or pressure or density. And when you feel it, move all of your awareness into the very center of what you feel, the third eye space, continuing to friction breathe in the background. Now be simultaneously aware of the vibration of the third eye and the vibration of the throat from the friction breathing, so that the vibration of the throat reinforces and strengthens the vibration of the third eye, connecting the two together with your awareness. Continuing the friction breathing to support the third eye. Continue to move your awareness into the very center of whatever you see or feel at the third eye space. Constant dynamic movement into the center of the third eye. Just falling into the center, relaxing into the center. Be quiet for a few minutes, and as you continue to relax more and more deeply into the center of the third eye space, when you perceive light or color, you can make the friction breathing more subtle, and if you feel the opening of the vast dark expanse in the head, or see the background of dark purple light, you can let go of the friction breathing entirely. Until then, continue with the friction breathing, building up the vibration at the third eye, constant dynamic movement, falling into the center of the third eye, just observing it. Constant movement into the center, observing what appears for you. Continuing the constant dynamic movement into the center of the third eye space, now please become aware of the quality of energy that you feel in that third eye space. Whatever level that you're on, of vibration or light or the dark expanse, wherever you are with it, as you move into the center of the third eye, simply become aware of the quality of the energy of the space. If it had a taste, what would it taste like? What does it feel like? Now please move your conscious awareness down to the center of the chest, to the front of the heart center, slightly inside the chest or the front of the body, around the level of the heart, but in the center of the body where the heart chakra is. And once again, feel for that location in the center of the chest or the front of the body that you can feel what feels like a place of additional vibration or density or pressure. Center of the heart chakra. And when you feel that, once again, move all of your awareness and energy into the very center of whatever you feel at the heart. And you can use a little light friction breathing to build up that vibration of what you feel at the heart as you move into its center. As you continue to move your awareness into the center of the heart center, once again become aware of the quality of energy now at the heart. What does the quality of energy at the heart feel like? If it had a taste, what would it taste like? How is its quality of energy different from the third eye center? Tasting the nectar of the heart center, moving into the center of the center. Tasting the nectar of the heart center. And now becoming simultaneously aware of the vibration quality at the heart center and the vibration quality at the third eye center. As if the heart connects to and can see through the third eye center. The heart sees through the third eye. Be aware of both centers simultaneously and feel the connection. Now, feeling that connection between the third eye and the heart center, please move your conscious awareness now to the hara center. This is the center of the will, the center of the belly. It's a center about an inch and a half below the navel. So move your mental awareness below the navel toward the front of the body, slightly inside the body. About an inch and a half below the navel, slightly inside the body, put your awareness there. And once again, look for a feeling of a place of additional vibration or density or pressure to find this particular energy center below the navel, slightly inside the body. And when you find that location, go back to the friction breathing and build up the vibration at the belly, that space below the navel, with the friction breathing. And for this, the friction breathing should be as strong as possible. The belly center loves the friction breathing. Stronger the friction breathing, the more it likes it. This will center loves the additional vibration. So build up a good, strong vibration with the friction breathing at the center below the navel. Friction at the throat, connected to the friction at the belly. Good, strong belly center vibration. Slow, deep breaths all the way down to the belly. Vibration at the throat connected to the vibration at the hara. The breath goes all the way down to the hara with every breath in and goes out from the hara with every breath out. Just relax and let any blockages to that belly area move out, let them melt away, building up the vibration at the hara. Continuing the friction breathing in the background, moving all of your conscious awareness and energy into the very center of the hara center, to the center of the center of the center of the hara, feeling the nectar of the hara center. If it had a taste, what would it taste like? Feeling the quality of the energy at the hara, falling, relaxing deeper into its center, experiencing the quality of its vibration. Relaxing into the center of the hara, feeling the quality of energy. Ask yourself the silent question, how does the quality of the energy at the hara feel different from that of the heart or of the third eye? now become simultaneously aware of the vibration at the hara and the vibration at the heart. Feel that the heart can anchor itself and stabilize itself at the hara. The two are connected. Feel the stabilization of the heart energy anchored to the hara, vibrating together. And now add in the awareness of the third eye center. Simultaneously aware of the third eye vibration, the heart vibration, and the hara vibration. Being aware of all three at once, feel the connection between the three. Third eye and the heart anchored and centered at the hara. Very stable. Now please move your conscious awareness to a space beneath the feet, several inches into the floor beneath the feet and between the feet. Moving your conscious awareness to below the feet, into the earth, several inches down. If you can extend further down, that's fine. Also use a little friction breathing to build up the vibration of that space beneath the feet, and you want to feel that space beneath the feet connect directly to the soles of the feet. So a particular location in the soft spot of the soles of the feet that connects directly to the energy center beneath the feet. You can build up that vibration using the throat friction. Connecting to the center below the feet, connecting that to the soles of the feet. Awareness into that center beneath the feet, moving into the center of the center. Allow yourself to experience the vibration quality of that center. Ask yourself silently, what is the feeling of the vibration of that center? If it had a taste, what would it taste like? How is it different from the hara, the heart, and the head? Now become simultaneously aware of the vibration of the center below the feet and its connection to the soles of the feet and the vibration at the hara. The hara naturally grounds its energy through the legs, through the soles of the feet, to the energy center below the feet. Feel that energetic connection between the hara vibration through the soles of the feet to the energy center beneath the feet. Feeling Vihara solidly rooted and grounded in the earth, through the center, below the feet. With Vihara connected to the center below the feet, feel your entire energy system very solid, very grounded, very stable, and then become simultaneously aware of the center below the feet, the Vihara, the heart, and the third eye center. All connected, all grounded and rooted as one energy system with four different qualities. Now, keeping the eyes closed, you can let go of any friction breathing, you can let go of the meditation, but know that this activation and connection of the third eye, the heart, the Vihara, and the center below the feet is still in place. But with the eyes closed, now simply tune into the feeling of energy in and around your body and ask yourself the silent question, how has this practice structured my body of energy and my consciousness? And then, keeping the eyes closed, please take a few deep breaths. And keeping the eyes closed, becoming aware of the feeling of your feet on the floor, the feeling of your body sitting in the chair, becoming aware of the sounds around you, preparing to move your awareness back into the physical space around you. And please rub the palms of your hands very strongly together, so that the palms of your hands become very, very warm. And once you get the palms of the hands very warm, please cup the warm palms over your closed eyes. No direct pressure of the hands against the eyes, just cupping the warm palms over the closed eyes, letting the warmth of the palms sink into your physical eyes, enjoying the feeling of the warmth as a preparation in a moment to open the eyes, but not quite yet. Letting the warmth of the palm sink into the eyes with one last moment of awareness to the energy centers of the body. See if anything reveals itself at this last moment. Preparing to come back. And when you're ready, you can snap the fingers of either hand and open your eyes. This might be a moment, too, to see if you can get a sense of the feeling of astral density around your body after you do these involuting types of practices, or the feeling of density in a room, in a space, when practices are done in that space. And I'll open it up to any feedback on the practices. I'm particularly interested if it was something energetically tangible to you, moving into the center of these locations and being able to contact the vibrational quality at the different centers, if all centers were equally accessible or some were easier to access than others, if you could feel the vibrational nectar difference between the energy in the different locations, anything that came up for you, these kinds of things.
I noticed that, like, when I established the center at each point, each successive point, like, created a, like, other points, like a geometric figure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this point, then this point, and this, then that formed, like, a out, you know? And I don't know, it was really interesting, because it's like it stabilized it and, like, grew out from it.
And you seem to be indicating points almost of a pyramidal nature.
Absolutely.
That's actually part of a larger geometric structure connected to a 3D tree of life around the body. So often when we do activate these centers and put our attention on it, it will activate other centers in the whole matrix, and that can become visible to us. Thank you. I'd love to get some feedback for people if you could actually experience the vibrational quality difference of the different centers.
My lower thinking was not accessible in some sense. It felt very solid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there was a layer which I couldn't go through to go into the center. It was like all protection there,
yeah.
All kind of, you know, density on the surface before it would allow me to go deeper.
Mm, thank you for sharing that. And how was it in working with the center below the feet and connecting back to the heart? That's
stabilized.
Okay.
Plus also I backed out and went back,
right.
And backed out and, you know, and
yeah.
Rarefy it in the
yeah.
process.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But connecting with the lower center kind of moved it somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly also in the direction to three-dimensional space.
Okay.
So it's like basically I have to move it a little over that, under the feet center.
Right. Thank you. How about for other folks? Yes, please.
Yes, I was trying to figure out words. It's the pause. So the... So they each had a very different vibrational sense. And the feeling of them, how that translated was the head sort of being on a, you know, the material of a trampoline, sort of strong but
mm-hmm.
flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And then the heart, feather soft, like a very gentle softness. And then in the belly, was like a word mushy, like a substance that is a combination that is very strongly held together. And so my mind started having this, my brain started having this conversation. Like, this felt very strong, but there was a mushiness to it. And what was shown was that. Yes, but there's no separation, sort of, especially when the three came together. Like a sense of viscousness, I guess, but no separation. And then the feet. I know in the last class I shared with everyone about in my childhood I wore that bar brace across my feet. I had a deformed leg that was attempted to bring back into place. so that was really interesting that that was the feeling, was this absolute strength of bracing, sort of triangulated down. And so that was interesting. And very, again, metaphorically, I know I shared this last time, but this whole sense of my whole life, you know, wanting to go that way. So that was really interesting then when that tied in with the vibrational energies of the three, that let go, like the bracingness. There's a very strong solidity then in this body that was then surrounded by space. Like not, it was very grounded, but not in that sense of feeling like there was a bar between my legs and between my feet.
Mm-hmm.
That was very interesting.
Great, thank you. And one thing you're mentioning with the qualities in the different areas, there was a bit of mapping there, like the different quality of the mushiness and the hara, as opposed to some of the other centers. And it's very helpful to develop that quality of mapping our body of energy, which we can do just by using awareness of different qualities. So we can become aware, we can ask ourselves questions like, in particular areas, is it more light or dark? Is it more smooth or sticky? Does it have a particular type of color? Does it have a particular type of sound? Does it have a particular type of taste? Anything that attributes a particular type of quality to different energy centers or areas of the body can be helpful. And this can be used for many different practices. Of course, it has a lot of applications in healing work. It also has applications in things like, we have the book here by Samuel Sagan on the back table, called Regression. For the particular method we use at the Clair Vision School, once we learn to work with the energy centers of the body and to map the body, then we began to map parts of the body. You would find places that energy was stuck. And in some places, the stuck energy is connected to separate consciousnesses that we might term as entities. And so a major part of that is for the person themselves that you're working with to map their energy body. And once you find the place of the disturbance, it might not be an entity, it might be something else, but in some cases you would map it, and you say, well, is it smooth or sticky? Is it light or dark? And you begin to get a sense of the qualities of it, and you start mapping the area, and you would find that in some cases there's like an encapsulated area, and that actually works to start crystallizing out these foreign energy systems in our energy system so they can be easily removed. This is part of a larger principle, which is that if we can map our energy system, we can then find when external energies that are not beneficial to us get lodged in our energy for removal, whether it's more conscious like an entity or whether it's just a detrimental form of etheric energy that needs to be moved out. And that mapping process actually helps to crystallize it out so that it can be more easily removed. When we cannot differentiate ourselves, the difference between a foreign energy lodged in our system and our own innate energy system, it's much more difficult to remove. Once we ourselves can map the difference, it's much more easy to deal with. And again, it starts to crystallize out. There's more details in the regression text by Sagan for some of this. But I just want to, again, connect a few dots here. Any other comments before we move on to the next practice? Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
The thought I just had as you were describing that is of developing an energetic immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, when there's something in our body that isn't a part of who we are, we remove it. Our physical body removes it. We have a whole set of things that come into play for that. And when we lose the capacity to do that, it develops as a kind of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So when cells develop that are so different from our own, and we don't recognize them as such, we don't destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the image that came up as you were saying, the immune system functions in the body without our conscious participation, but this requires our conscious participation.
Thank you, that's very helpful.
Yeah.
when anthroposophical doctors in Germany began to research AIDS, that was one of the concepts that they had, which is that AIDS is related to this whole thing of the energetic system not being able to properly recognize various types of foreign energy qualities until it reaches all kinds of problems with the immune system dysfunction. Just like with the cancer, if the body doesn't know to kill the cell before it mutates and reproduces for the cancer spreading. This has many different esoteric applications, including as we begin to be able to map our own energetic system, and that also begins to move out to the energetic field. And one of the things that you commonly find in different traditions is the discussion of, as our energetic field becomes more dense, we talked about this idea of astral density. Mm-hmm. When the astral field becomes more dense around the body, there also is a type of sensation with it, what the Greeks would call sensate ether. And so as that energy field becomes more tangible around us, we can also, in many cases, feel when foreign energies intrude inside that energy system. Mm-hmm. So not even inside the body, but still in the field, before it enters too far into the field to be pushed out. And so that's where you get a lot of visualization exercises in some traditions about, you know, I'm creating a sphere of light around myself, etc. Mm-hmm. But again, that should not be simply an external practice in the mind's eye. It should also be tied into this sensate ether, the capacity to feel it, and something that's directly tangible for us. I am going to need to move on to, go to the next section. Yes, please.
You know, when you talk about astral density, I'm not sure if that's what I'm experiencing, but as you were talking more about it now, I think it is. But I would never use the word dense, because what it feels like is I'm acutely aware of my etheric body.
Yes.
So much so that I'm losing the sense of the boundary of my physical
mm-hmm.
body.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So it's more like more of an expansive feeling than density.
Yes. It's one way you might look at it is tangibility. It's additional astral tangibility. It becomes more tangible to us.
Yeah.
It becomes more real or more solid in a sense. So dense in the sense of solid or substantive, but certainly, thank you for drawing the distinction, not in the sense of being contractive in any way. It is an expansive movement, but it's with it becoming more tangible and in a sense more solid and grounded, rooted in its
yes, it is
tangibility.
Very grounded.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a very helpful thing when we get that solidity of it. And again, you can feel it around a person's field when they're very still in meditative practice. There's that sense of the solidity, the density, the rootedness of their energetic field. And if the person really isn't in a deep state of meditation, they're in the monkey mind and all, even if they're very still, you won't feel that in the energy around them. So that's an important point.
Okay.
William runs to the bathroom. We'll talk about some central points for the next part. After lunch, when everybody's passing out after eating, I'll show you the pulling up practice. But the final practice we want to do before lunch in the next 5 minutes is to do some work with the center above the head. There are multiple centers above the head. Those of you that have done the advanced biogeometry with us, we worked at that time with the Egyptian, really Sufi system of the three centers above the head, and particular sounds they used to activate them. And so in many systems, they talk about these chakras or centers above the head. But just like you might have experienced tangibly the different nectar or vibrational quality of these different centers, the three primary astral centers, so the centers above the head all have their own differentiated function and their own quality. So we can tie that into the discussion yesterday about these path thought forms, where tremendous amounts of astral and higher spiritual information are densely packed together, have a very high charge. And to access them directly, we move our awareness to the centers above the head. And for our immediate purposes right now, we're just going to work with the first center above the head, because it doesn't really help to go to higher centers if the first centers aren't stabilized. Until you've got the first center above the head as something very tangible that you can use for practical purposes, then the centers above it, again, to go to them is not much of a help. Basic idea we're going to have here is that we have the head, the heart, and the hara as these three primary centers. And so we're going to be moving to the first center above the head, And as I mentioned, for those of you that did the sacred geometry course with us a few weeks ago, part of that handout had 12 different perspectives on the first center above the hip. So in some schools, they would refer to it according to the function they use it for, which is for super fast mental functioning, very fast mental processing. And that's linked to this concept also of being where we access and can generate packed thought forms. This is also connected to the fact that if we work with communicating with another person, and sometimes persons have difficulty finding the words to say what they mean, we can actually put our conscious awareness at the first center above their head, because that's actually where the thoughts are being assembled. And it's often in a cohesive form, as a packed thought form here, and they're having some difficulty unpacking it into the firing of neurons to separate words. It's in a pre-verbal state, as a packed experience here. So we can actually put our attention and awareness above the person's head when they're speaking to get more of that information. It is then a communication center with higher beings, higher forces. People very often through this center will perceive packed thought forms of certain geometries. And again, it's easier to have communication with spiritual beings, so they don't have to try to step down the communication into the different pieces. But they can give us the pure packed thought form through developing the center. And we can become aware of it through the same types of practices that we did a moment ago. We're simply going to, in a moment, with our eyes closed, move our conscious awareness above the head until we find that place above the head. And it can be slightly different for different people. You know, you find textually, say, you know, go 6 inches above the head, etc. But it's really a matter of mapping it for yourself. Map where you feel as you go above the head. It might feel like a platform of energy. That's one way it was mapped in the Clairvision School, is you moved your energy and awareness above the head, and you're not thinking about it from down here. My attention and awareness is literally above the head. And I just see where I feel this place that feels like a platform. And when it's at the platform, it can rest on that platform. If I go further up, it wants to keep going higher. If I go below it, it has a tendency to want to drop back down into the head. And so it feels like a platform it can rest on. Or you might feel it, as we mentioned before, in its etheric form, as a place of additional vibration or intensity. Or if you experience it more astrally, you'll experience it as a place of intense light, because the light of this center, when activated, is very strong. It's like a sun. And again, it's got a charge beyond what any of these centers could generate in the field. So we want to be aware of this particular center. Now, before we do the practice, so we can segue directly into it, we want to be aware of another concept. And so we spent this morning working on these practices just to give you some foundation for things, working on practices for the 12 holy nights. And so I wanted to make some connections for you. Another is this idea of the conversation of the holy guardian angel, which was one of the key practices that you find described in medieval text. In the 1800s, there was a translation of a much earlier text in another language, probably Latin, I'm not sure, of a book called The Sacred Magic of Avermelin the Mage by MacGregor Mathers, who was one of the founders of the Golden Dawn movement in England. And this is one of the main texts on this receiving the conversation of the Holy Guardian Angel. And it goes into some detail about the practices they would do for it. But you see the concept, the conversation of the Holy Guardian Angel, all through all these different medieval texts and up to the present age. So one of the keys for this is that it's understood in Rosicrucianism that our guardian angel is a spiritual being that's the closest to us. Spiritual being is somewhat like a parent to us, like we're a parent to a child. Although it probably wouldn't be incorrect to say it's more like we're the dog and they're our human owner to some degree. Not an owner in a sense that they make us do things we might not want to do, although sometimes they do. But it's more of a sense that they are on a whole different scale of consciousness from us, like us with our dogs. And the dog is trying to attain our level of awareness and activity, and we're trying to attain their level. So this spiritual being of the level of the angelic hierarchy, literally the angels rather than archangel or an archai, etc., is a being that knows everything about us. Every thought, every feeling, every will impulse we've ever had is directly present to this being. And when we take the draft of forgetfulness before incarnation, the guardian angel is the being that retains the knowledge of our full spiritual nature, our previous incarnations, and also our future destiny, including what we would refer to as our teleological destination, what we're being pulled to as our spiritual fruition in the future. It knows our past and our future, our true spiritual self, and all of our struggles and internal nature. So the guardian angel is the being that preserves that and works with that for us when we take the draft of forgetfulness and struggle in our physical life. It's constantly working to help us. And again, we could say a lot about the guardian angel. But the reason we're bringing it in now is one way to access this conversation with the holy guardian angel is to work with the center above the head. The center above the head, we just mentioned, it allows us to receive pack thought forms, and that helps us to communicate with the guardian angel. But it has another aspect, too, that was beautifully described by the Russian esotericist Valentin Tomberg. And Tomberg gave the spiritual imagination. Tomberg died in the 1970s, and he was alive and active around the time of Steiner. Tomberg's a whole story of his own. But at one time, he talked about his experience of angelic hierarchies. And one of the imaginations that I found very powerful was this idea that for the human race, we have these three centers of the will center, the feeling center, the thought center, aura, heart, head. And the same thing is true, in a sense, for, let's say, a being of the angelic hierarchy, in this case, the guardian angel. But for them, it all shifted one level higher. And this being, in a sense, envelops us in a protective way with its wings. So if we have this beautiful imagination of the guardian angel being slightly above us and enveloping us with its wings, then what we have as this first center above the head is actually the place of the head of the guardian angel. When we put our awareness here at the center above the head, we're actually interpenetrating the head of the guardian angel and participating in its thoughts the way that the guardian angel can by stepping down a level with our thought life. And so that means that its head center, its thought center, interpenetrates the center above the head, and we put our awareness there for these particular functions. But that also means, in this very beautiful imagination from Tomberg, that the heart center of the angel is now interpenetrating our head. It's in the same space. And so the heart of the guardian angel warms our thoughts with its feelings. So when we open ourselves to the guardian angel's influence, then these wonderful forces of love and compassion, these literal warmth forces from the heart of the guardian angel, infuse our head. And then the will forces of the guardian angel, again, moving down to the next level, but just as our heart level, our heart center is then interpenetrated by the will center of the guardian angel. And so the guardian angel then provides these tremendous forces to activate will within our heart, the activity of the heart. And so when we work with the center, we want to also become aware of that nature of the guardian angel that we can communicate here, and the interpenetration of its heart with our head and its will with our heart. And in fact, if you choose to take this further as a meditation on your own, then this can actually become a ladder, where the next center above that would be the head of an archangelic presence, and the next center above it of an archai. And again, the entire process moves upward in that sense.
In Gurdjieffian terminology there, he talks about higher head and higher heart. Do you know how do they connect this angelic realms?
I have to look at his specific references, but so much of Gurdjieff's work overlaps with this type of Western esotericism. And Tomberg was himself Russian, as was Gurdjieff. So I couldn't say for certain that Gurdjieff is talking about exactly the same thing, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was certainly a strong connection. So, yes, please.
Difference between the higher self and the guardian angel here?
The higher self, the term is used so vaguely and generally in general metaphysical circles that it can mean either, depending on who's using it and when. But if we're going to use more technical terminology, we would probably say that the higher self is actually a higher part of us as our individuality. That's not the guardian angel. The guardian angel is, in a sense, the being that is the caretaker of our higher self. but this requires a lot more discussion, because this has to do then with levels of the human being that are active on higher spiritual planes that we are not currently conscious of. They're spoken of quite directly in things like the old Egyptian tradition, but not as directly described in unveiled language in the modern Western tradition.
But they occupy the same space. I just have a sense of my higher self, and my higher self,
yes,
occupy the same space as guardian angel, archangel, archai.
Yes, aspects of the higher self definitely do. And that's in connected to the fact that we have those chakras. It says that for most of us, those chakras are unconscious, just as our activity of our self is unconscious for us right here, right now, on those levels. So, in the time before lunch, let's do a quick practice with the center above the head. And again, if you're wearing glasses, please remove them. If you would close your eyes. Relatively straight back. A few deep breaths and relax. And let's begin by moving your awareness just to the very top of your head. Just where you feel the scalp at the top of the head around the crown center. And there's some vibration there, because that's where the crown center is, powerful energy center. And then start moving your energy and awareness vertically, straight up above the top of the head, just slowly, inch by inch, exploring that space above the head. And again, you're not thinking about it from below. You're literally putting your awareness and energy above the head and moving it slowly upward, so you really feel and experience that space. And as you slowly move your energy and awareness upward, inch by inch, you're looking for that location that feels like additional vibration or density or pressure, or you might experience it as a sphere of light, or you might experience it as a feeling of a platform of energy where your energy can naturally rest at that point without being pulled downward or lifted upward higher. I'm going to be quiet for the next minute and just allow you to explore that space above the head and find where that center is above the head for you. And when you find it, simply, once again, move all your energy and awareness into the very center of that energy location you've identified above the head. And I'll speak again in a couple of minutes. Continue to move your energy and awareness into the very center of this first energy location above the head. And as you continue to move into its center, feel the increase of vibration, the increase of light. Feel that space open up above the head as that center is activated. Constant dynamic movement into the center. But all you have to do is relax into the center and observe it. Relax into the center as the space opens up, and just observe what appears, keeping the eyes closed. Continuing to move your awareness into the center of the space above the head. Feel that the opening of that space by moving into the center is like the opening of a grail cup. And just feel what is inside of that grail. What is the energetic quality? What is the nectar of this space above the head? If it had a taste, what would it taste like? How is the vibrational quality of the space above the head as you move into its center, different from the energy centers of the third eye and the heart and the hara that we experienced before? Continuing to move your awareness into the center of the space above the head, now with an openness and awareness of how other spiritual beings can connect to the center to communicate with us. So I'll be quiet for the next several minutes. Just keep moving your awareness into the center of the location above the head and just observing, being open to the awareness of other spiritual presences, and particularly open to the presence of the guardian angel. Directing your attention to the consciousness of the guardian angel, the light of the consciousness of the guardian angel in the center above the head. Simply being aware of it and observing it. awareness to the center of the head and becoming aware of the heart forces of the guardian angel interpenetrating and giving its light to the center of your head, your thinking forces. Feel the warmth and the love and the compassion of the heart of the guardian angel streaming through your head and your thought forces. Moving your awareness to your heart center and becoming aware of the will forces of the guardian angel interpenetrating your heart center and feeling the dynamic, active will of the angel activating your heart, the forces of your active love and compassion being activated by the guardian angel's will to be active in the world. Now becoming simultaneously aware of your own heart forces and the center above your head, directing the forces of your own heart center to connect to the center above your head, and please direct your love and thanks to your own guardian angel at the center above the head for all of its help and guidance and inspiration and sustenance in our darkest and most difficult times, for its loyalty to us, for staying with us through all times, throughout our entire life, directing your heart forces to the center above the head with love and gratitude. Directed our heart forces and thanks to the guardian angel above the head. Now please also direct the vibrations from your heart to connect to the center above the head to send our love and our light to any people that you might know who have died, friends or family on the other side. That force of the love being broadcast out by the center above the head can directly communicate with those on the other side, just as it can communicate with spiritual beings. So directing the love from the heart, radiated out from the sphere of light above our head, to those who have died, friends and family on the other side. And you can think specifically of the person that you have in mind to send the love and light to, what they look like, what their energy felt like, what their voice sounded like, to direct the love through the center above the head to them. involvement of sending our love and light through the center above the head to our guardian angel, and in sending love to our friends and family on the other side. You can let go of the practice, keeping the eyes closed, and simply tune into the feeling of the energy in and around your body, and ask yourself a silent question: how has this practice structured my body of energy and my consciousness? The effects of the practice in our body of energy, keeping the eyes closed, please rub your palms very briskly together. Get the palms very warm. And when the palms are very warm, cup the warm palms over the closed eyes. No direct pressure against the eye. Just let the warmth of the palms sink in. Last moment of awareness to the center above the head. Any last communications, awareness of that center, as we prepare to come back to the room. Being aware of the sounds around you, feeling of your body sitting on the chair, and when you're ready, you can snap the fingers of either hand and open your eyes. Any comments on the practice?
What if you found two of them?
What's that?
Guardians.
There can definitely be more than one spiritual being that's connected with us.
Good, I'm not weird. I thought one was about to retire. Another one was in training.
You may find in some cases that there is a particular being that is the guardian angel. And then there are other spiritual beings connected to us that don't have that particular role, but that are strongly connected with us. Any other comments from anyone? Yes, please.
I don't know if you're familiar with the faculty imagination that Steiner gave when he initiated the course that is called the Study of Man
mm-hmm.
course for the teachers. Before he initiated that course, he had these founding faculty members together, and he gave them an imagination which was not written down by the stenographer but has been captured. And in short, the image is that that each individual human being who's coming into this circle has standing behind him an angel with this image of the hands of the angel. They could have hands, but this feeling of the hands on the shoulder of the earth man is how it's written.
Mm-hmm.
And then above the angel are the archangels, and through the activity of the archangels is a weaving from the angel into the human being, streams this strength of the higher self of the earth man as the angel carries this recognition. And then between all of the individuals over and above the angels are the archangels, and they are weaving from each individual, from one person to each of the others and back, that strength that can stream from one individual into the group. And in that streaming, it's a weaving that forms a kind of chalice. And then the archive plays a drop of light into this chalice of which forms, which has a kind of courage, a vessel of courage. And behind it then is this image of what can be created when a group of people consciously choose to unite for a task. And this idea that energetically what's behind those beings and the way it relates to our own levels of energy is very interesting, because I wasn't aware of this, but have done that meditation as a faculty for a long time, so
Thank you very much for sharing that.
It's quite a picture.
Yes.
Once you see it through that. It's very different. I just said, like, something else. Go on with it, which is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, please.
Would a guardian angel say, I wish you would get more sleep?
Absolutely. The guardian angel is basically the one that's trying to get us to do what we came here to do, to fulfill our spiritual task and functions. And as we mentioned in some previous classes, the guardian angel is also active in trying to get us to make connections with other people, to do certain things we're karmically supposed to do. And that's a very frustrating thing for it, because it gets us to have these karmic meetings, run across somebody at the grocery store we didn't expect to see. Hey, how's it going? And it's from the angelic perspective, there's like all of this incredible machination to get two people in the same space-time reference at the same time, so they'll do what they decided to do before incarnation, and then we're all caught up with our own stuff and we don't make the connection we need to make or do what we need to do. So then they got to engineer it to happen again. And so the guardian angel is constantly working with us so that karmic meetings take place, so that we stay on track and on target to the things we're supposed to do. And so if your sleep or lack of it is interfering with the fulfillment of your destiny, then that would definitely be something it would tell you to do. But as my final comment on that, I remember years ago I read in a Fiendhorn magazine, they had an article on angels. And one thing that really stuck with me there is they said, one thing you should be aware of is that your guardian angel doesn't really care if you're happy in, like, in the ordinary sense. Like, you know, I didn't get the present I wanted for my birthday, or so-and-so did something mean to me. Your guardian angel could care less about that stuff. That superficial level of happiness, it's not its concern. What it concerns with is, are we doing what we came here to do, and are we moving ahead on the path on the way we were supposed to in this lifetime? And I thought that was a very instructive concept. And I think that's also connected to this whole idea that from the angelic perspective, if we have unpleasant experiences in a particular lifetime, it might even be quite traumatic to us, it has no more significance in the larger sense of the great span of time, as long as we're doing what we came here to do, than if we're raising a child and the child goes to bed unhappy and crying one night. You know, we're going to have the next day, and the whole story is going to continue forward. The important thing is that everybody continues on the path in the correct form. So we'll leave it there and go to lunch. We're again going to have an hour and 15 minutes for lunch, so please be in your seats at 2:30. And once again, the two major places to eat are either directly downstairs. If you do go downstairs, make sure you order pretty soon after getting there and ask for your check when the food comes. And Parmigiano's Italian Greek across the street. So I'll see y'all at 2:30.
Thank you.
We are going to try to